Need to go. Would you like to answer those as well? All of our presenters today are from the University of North Carolina, Department of Maternal and Child Health, and the Carolina Global Breastfeeding Institute. And Miriam asked me to please tell you that this was not planned ahead of time, that all four of them were scheduled together. It just seemed to work out that way. So that's our disclaimer. I don't have anything to disclose. I'm not sure that I have to do that, but I have no relationship, although I would like to, with you, North Carolina. In fact, maybe we should talk about that. Anyway, so our first speaker, Barbara Cameron, has a very checkered past, but no, I'm teasing. Barbara graduated from Mount Holyoke College in 1990 with a degree in biological sciences and holds a master's degree from Duke University in cell and molecular biology. She has a diverse professional background that includes work ranging from cake decorating to teaching middle school. And Miriam actually let her in with this background. After completing her master's degree in social work, she took a break from full-time work to care for her young children. At that time, she became involved with La Leche League, and this is where her passion for breastfeeding counseling mothers was born. Since then, she's been active in local breastfeeding support communities, working with both clinicians and the families they serve. Most recently, she's been working at the Carolina Global Breastfeeding Institute at UNC Chapel Hill, implementing a program to improve breastfeeding support in Wake County, North Carolina child care centers. Barbara.
Good morning. Thank you. So, I started with the so. The deadly so. Good morning. I have been working in Wake County, North Carolina, which is where Raleigh, North Carolina is, the capital. Disclosures. I have no professional relationships, commercial relationships to disclose. So we have for the past 3 years been working in Wake County, North Carolina, which is where Raleigh, the capital of North Carolina, is, to improve breastfeeding support in the child care centers there. So today I'm going to talk a little bit about why we decided to target child care, the 10 steps for breastfeeding-friendly child care that we developed, the intervention that we did to improve breastfeeding support, and what our findings are around the 10 steps, and also where we're going from here. Caring for our children is a document that if you work in child care, you're very familiar with, but if you're like me and you come from a breastfeeding background, you might not know what it is. It is put out by, I'm going to get the name right, the National Resource Center for Health and Safety in Child Care, and it's a big, fat book that lists best practices for child care centers, and it was recently revised in 2011, and they really are emphasizing the importance of breastfeeding support. Because breastfeeding is such an important public health intervention, it's important that child care centers play a role in promoting and supporting breastfeeding. And one of the things we found in our discussions with child care providers is that they tend to shy away from promoting breastfeeding. They can sort of get around supporting breastfeeding, but they can be timid about the idea that it's their job to promote breastfeeding. So one of our conversations with them has been about the way they routinely promote many public health behaviors, and that breastfeeding promotion is just part of that same package of promoting things like washing your hands. And that's something that they understand. But it's important to note that caring for our children, which lays out the best practices in child care centers, specifically talks about the important role of caregivers vigorously supporting and promoting breastfeeding. And some of the things that need to be in place for that are training and environmental factors in the center. And we'll talk in more detail about that. Just a little data for you. In Wake County, which is very typical, of the United States, we see high rates, this is higher than the national rate, but typically high rate of breastfeeding initiation, and there's significant drop-off by 3 months, and then 6 months in Wake County, it's about 30% is the breastfeeding rate at 6 months of age. And what we know is that infants who are routinely cared for by someone other than their mothers are significantly less likely to be breastfed. And in North Carolina, returning to work or school is one of the main reasons women cite for weaning, for discontinuing breastfeeding. And we all know that it's challenging for mothers and babies when they have to be apart. And the other thing is that lots of kids in this country are in childcare. 72% of children under 4 years old have both parents working and are in childcare. And childcare centers serve almost 1 million families every month. So this creates an opportunity, right? Lots of kids are in childcare. Childcare is often a barrier to successful breastfeeding, but it creates the opportunity because if we can improve childcare centers' support and promotion of breastfeeding, we can hopefully improve breastfeeding rates. 10 steps for breastfeeding friendly childcare. I'm sure many of you are well familiar, since you're here at the session, that 10-step programs have been successfully used to stimulate improvements in breastfeeding support in hospitals. It's sort of the gold standard for how we improve hospital breastfeeding support. And so, because it's a framework that we're really familiar with, we thought it would be a good starting point for working with childcare centers as well. So we use existing guidelines. There are some 10 steps in place, and to create a list of 10 steps with measurable objectives that we could use to assess childcare centers. So we created, much like is in use in hospitals, a 10 steps self-assessment tool for childcare centers to use. And this was completed in conjunction by the director of the center in conjunction with our assessor. And there are multiple objectives, concrete objectives under each step that they filled out. And for the purposes of our research, fulfilling the step constituted saying yes to every objective. Who we surveyed were, in the interest of limiting our scope somewhat, we limited ourselves to childcare centers, so we did not evaluate childcare homes and that received subsidies, because we were particularly interested in targeting low-income families and increasing support for them. We contacted all centers, and 101 centers completed the initial self-appraisal, and then the providers is just for another survey we did, so I'm not going to talk about that today. And 80 centers enrolled in the program. So those are the 80 centers that had the initial self-assessment, participated in the training, and then we did a second assessment for. So I'm going to give you a quick overview of the 10 steps. These numbers are our baseline findings, what we found. So step one, make a commitment to the importance of breastfeeding, especially exclusive breastfeeding, and share this commitment with fellow staff. So one of the things that we had not seen incorporated in any of the standards for childcare centers specifically was an inclusion of exclusive breastfeeding, and that was one piece we wanted to make sure to include. So 21% of centers, reported having a policy. Only 8% report that breastfeeding support activities are part of any kind of a staff review. And 32% have educational materials for parents on infant feeding. I will just point out that this does not specify in the assessment what kind of materials those are at this point. So we did not vet them. And this is by self-report by the director, all of these numbers. Training the staff on how to promote optimal infant and young child feeding. Thank you. 36% report that new staff are trained on the benefits of breastfeeding. 14% report training in the promotion of exclusive breastfeeding. These are probably generous numbers, given our interactions with the childcare centers. Most of them didn't really know what exclusive breastfeeding was, so we appreciate their optimism. Inform women and families about the importance of breastfeeding. So are they talking to their families who are breastfeeding and their families who are not breastfeeding about breastfeeding? And not a lot. Fewer than 20% talk to them at all. Train all staff in skills necessary to handle, store, and feed mother's milk properly. So 58% report that they get some training, and this isn't necessarily a formal training. In most cases, it's on-the-job training, typically from the other infant teacher. The milk handling piece is a little more mandated by the state, so they don't necessarily have to have training, but they have to have facilities and labeling for training, I mean, for this facility. We were interested, one of the things we wanted to include in our discussion with child care centers was the importance of feeding in response to babies' cues. And actually, we found the centers very responsive to that. They actually argued to us a lot that it was parents who were pushing scheduled feedings, but in fact, and then in fact, they were even the, I don't know, I think we, this is one of our misconceptions, because we don't so much come from a childcare background. I think we imagined that the convenience of scheduled feeding for providers would trump the benefits of feeding on cue. And what we found was many of these really experienced infant teachers were like, well, of course you feed babies in response to their cues. So that was a good piece of news we got. Step 5, ensure that all clients are able to properly store and label milk for child care center use. So this is, what are the parents doing? So 75% report having a policy on how to handle human milk that's shared with all parents, and all report proper labeling. Again, our suspicion is that this one maybe is a little optimistic. They're required by law to have properly labeled milk, so it's probably unlikely, even if they had improperly labeled milk, that they would say that they did. Provide a breastfeeding-friendly environment. 96% report there's a comfortable place to nurse or pump. This is now required in North Carolina child care centers. It was not when we started the study. It's worth noting that this is not something to be taken for granted. We had one center that was interested in participating in the project that considered themselves, described themselves as breastfeeding friendly, but did not allow breastfeeding on the premises. A mom with a baby had to actually go out to her car to breastfeed if she had a baby. And about 20% invite their parents to come to the center to nurse. This is something else we're trying to encourage centers to do, although logistically, what we found is centers for whom that's easy to do for the parents, we're already doing it, and for a lot of parents, it's just not very possible for the parents to come. Display posters and provide brochures. So we did a lot of producing of materials, and one of the things we specifically wanted to do was find out and help centers provide materials that were ethnically and literacy-wise appropriate for the families that they serve. And you can see only 3% display breastfeeding posters, and only 14% provide appropriate educational materials. Develop a sustainable feeding plan. We've now changed the wording of this, and we now call it a breastfeeding-friendly feeding plan, which includes things like appropriate timing of introduction of solids, support for cue-based feeding. We were not surprised all develop a written feeding plan because they are required by law to do that, but it isn't necessarily a particularly detailed plan. And so we tried to work with them on that. But there are not materials encouraging appropriate introduction of timing of solids or breastfeeding on demand when you're with the baby. Sometimes moms have the misconception that if they're bottle feeding their baby while they're apart, that they can no longer breastfeed when they're with them. Okay, step 9, not doing a lot of referring. Most don't have a list of resources or regularly refer, almost none. And then continued education, it's not a surprise since initial training is an issue, that continuing education is also not something that's happening in a lot of centers. So this is to summarize the number of centers, the percentage of centers that have completed all the objectives for each step. You can see it's pretty low. Step 4 and step 5 are the steps related to milk handling. So it's not surprising that those are a little bigger because there are more regulations in place to assure that centers do that. Okay, intervention. The first step in the intervention, of course, the self-assessment is really part of the intervention. We did a 2-hour training of center staff and directors and then provided them with materials which they were trained in at the training. And then there was a follow-up visit by the trainer. We created a lot of materials. Some of the guiding principles include responding to the gaps we found in our own needs assessment, keeping the literacy level low. We found that a lot of breastfeeding materials that are available, especially around child care and work are geared more at professional women, and so we wanted to have some materials that had a lower literacy level that would be appropriate both for the child care providers and for the families they serve. Keeping them simple, trying to parse out what is seen the most important pieces of information that we want to cover, and we color-coded them by purpose to make them easier to use. It was also important to us that they would be easily printable from PDFs, and we will have a CD-ROM toolkit of all our materials available by the end of this year, God willing. So this is an example of one of the materials. It's got an orange border which says, "Give me to all the families who walk in the door of the child care center." And this specific one is key to the 10 steps. Our child care center supports breastfeeding, so we try to do all these things. Training was a two-hour training. That time was picked because that's the length used in Wake County. That's the typical training length. The key points of how we did this were we addressed the gaps that we found in the assessment. We also did a big assessment of centers, of individual providers, and limited to the key info that we repeated multiple times in order to kind of get home what we thought were the most important points. And the other thing we did that was unusual was we used methods appropriate for adult learning. So rather than having a didactic training where we show them PowerPoint slides and tell them why breastfeeding is important, we did a lot of discussion and had a lot of conversation. We felt that it was important, since we're dealing particularly with a demographic of providers, many of whom did not breastfeed, and infant feeding can be such a volatile issue, we wanted to make a little space for them to express their dubiousness about this as an important intervention. And they did, but it was good. Sometimes it kind of came back to backfire. Sometimes I wished we heard a lot. It was good. I felt like everything got out on the table, all their doubts about whether breastfeeding was really important. So that was good. So now I'm going to talk about, we went back after we trained these folks and re-gave them the 10 steps assessment. So looking at this graph, the light blue is the baseline for the whole groups that we just went through. The dark blue is a waitlisted control group, and the green is the intervention group. So you can see on basically every step except for step 5, we see dramatic improvements in their performance on the 10 steps. The places where it looks like data are missing, like on step 10, it's because it was 0. So it went from 0 to 0 to 38% on that one of centers. So we're seeing a lot of improvement, so that's exciting. I'll just mention on step 5 is a little bit of a mystery to us. Did you want to say something, Marie?
It's that there were more centers in the baseline than the control and the follow-up were randomized
from the baseline. And we aren't quite sure what's going on with step 5, why it looks like there's a drop, but we think that part of it may be a product of, at least with our intervention group, that it may be that once they were trained, they understood that they were no longer doing what they thought they were doing and said yes to in the initial. Of course, a part of the factor is, in fact, that the number's pretty high to start out with. Okay, so we've made some updates to the 10 steps. After we've done this, we've consolidated a couple and added steps in two areas to include support of breastfeeding employees and inclusion of breastfeeding-friendly books and toys in the center. We're now thinking, have been doing a lot of work on how do we get this out there so people can use it. The original 10 steps self-assessment that we made was really a research tool, and it was not very user-friendly. So we worked with our child care health consultants, who do health and safety consulting with child care centers, and they really like a program called Knapsack, which anybody who works in obesity and child care might be familiar with. And they use a formula format exactly like this. So this looks like a self-assessment document that child care centers in North Carolina use all the time, so we use that format. And it comes with assessment tools. So it's designed that centers can use it without a lot of help from an outside assessor. Just a few things. Now in Wake County, North Carolina, child care health consultants without our help are now using it. North Carolina Division of Child Development has used our 10 steps as, to help develop guidelines for child care homes and centers in North Carolina. And we've been working with North Carolina Eat Smart Move More to use our 10 steps to develop a breastfeeding-friendly child care center designation in North Carolina. And again, the toolkit will be available at the end of the year. There's a little whirlwind. This is one of the posters that we use in the centers, and I actually have, if folks would like to see, I did bring some samples of the materials, which you're welcome to take.